preaching to you today. Kids, you're going to be staying with us today. No children's church this morning. I want to welcome those who are watching by Facebook Live. I think we're probably going to have to start getting used to that in the weeks ahead. More than likely, this might be the last time we meet for a few weeks. Please, I want to encourage everyone to just check out our website. Look us up on Facebook, kind of, you'll be informed through media, but we've had a crazy week, you know. My wife and kids and I went on a trip, a vacation. We took our camper to Fredericksburg. We're just kind of hanging out. And then the great toilet paper run of 2020 happened. The rest is history. The whole week turned into nothing but talking about the corona. Well, I got something much greater to talk about today. Amen? Amen. To kind of flush your mind from all the talk of corona and get us on track, because we serve a God that's bigger. And that's the message title today. I read a story the other night of a guy, his name is John G. Patton. Back in the 1850s, he was a Scottish missionary who traveled to the New Hebrides Islands just off the coast of Australia. His plan was to reach this indigenous people. It was really a group of headhunters and cannibals. And so he traveled, and he traveled for over a month on a ship. And I'm not talking about the Carnival Cruise Line. You know what I'm talking about? He was cruising in a ship that none of us would even dream of cruising in. And it took him a month to get there. It's not like the ship had stabilizers. And one of the things he talks about is the difficulty of just that trip to make it to the islands. Well, he gets there, and everything starts off great, he and his wife. His wife is pregnant at the time. And a few months after arriving and sort of interacting with some of the natives, his wife has a child, and their son is born. But not long after that, things begin to go downhill. He loses his wife and his child within 3 months of the baby being born. And the natives begin to turn on him, and it's not a good thing for a headhunter to turn on you, okay? And so it became very difficult for him. He had to flee for his life. He left the island and eventually made his way back to Scotland. He remarried, but he just went through all of these things. But the call to minister to the people of that island continued to resonate in his heart. And he longed to go back there. He remarried in Scotland, and he told his wife, "We're going to live in these islands." And they loaded up on a ship, and they headed back there through the difficult journey of this trip. And this man's faith was just absolutely incredible. He relied on the Lord. He trusted in him the entire way. He gets to the island, and he begins to translate the Bible in their native language and starts to teach them about Christ. And he comes to this problem, this difficulty. He's perplexed. And he wonders how in the world he's going to teach these natives about faith, putting their trust, relying on Christ through their trials, through their daily experiences. And as he's toiling over how to teach them faith, a young man, one of the natives, runs into his quarters and falls into a chair and says, "I'm so glad to be in this chair. I'm so glad God gave me this chair to rest in." And that's when John Patton began to use a chair to explain faith in Christ. And some of you might be familiar with navigators. They use the chair to explain faith in Christ. They get it from him, John Patton. But what he does is it came to his realization that when this young man sat in the chair to rest, he says, "You know, we don't really check the chair out. We don't see who it's manufactured by. We just trust, and we sit, and we just sit in it." And so he began using that. And it's just such a great story, and it's just such a great reminder that we can put our trust. It's not blind trust. It's trust built on a history. It's trust built on a historic account. It's trust built on a faithful God and faithful stories for thousands of years. For thousands of years, we've seen people rely and trust in the Lord through good times and bad. We're going to be in the book of James today. If you'll turn with me, chapter 1 of James, chapter 1 of the book of James. If you split your Bible in half, go to the right, almost towards the end, you'll find the book of James. So the book of James, chapter 1, James, he's writing to encourage these people, these believers, these followers of Christ, who were going through a difficulty. They were basically all but kicked out of the city. They were ran out because the government, where it was persecuting them, they were being accused of things, and because of the lies and because of the persecution, they scattered, and they scattered throughout the region. They left the city, and they lived in these places that were unfamiliar. Times were uncertain. Times were stressful for them. They were worried if they would even make it to the next day. And so here are these believers just trying to learn how to apply their faith to this difficult situation. So here comes James. And James is writing this letter to encourage them. And you know, when you think about what they're going through, this uncertainty, this stress, this worry, I think about what our world and what our country is going through right now, this time of uncertainty. And I've got a word for you today. Got a word for you today from God's word. And it's the same word James has for these believers that had been scattered. So let's start in chapter 1, verse 2. It's a familiar passage. James says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And its steadfastness have its full effect that you... And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So when you're living in these stressful times and tensions are high, the last thing you want is somebody like James to come along and say, "Count it all joy, man." You know? It sounds kind of something that could probably irritate you when you're going through a difficulty. But that's exactly what he says. And the question is, why is he saying that? Why is he using that word joy in this time of great stress? And listen, he's serious about this. He's very serious about this. It's because James, he sees the trial, he sees the trouble that they are going through as an opportunity to become stronger in their faith. And so he's celebrating while they're in this tough time. He's reminding them to count it all joy when they go through the troubles, and you can imagine how they might be receiving this. And here's what it really is, y'all. It's a faith perspective. You know, we're followers of Christ, right? Those of you who have put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and listen, faith didn't end at that point of salvation. Faith continues and it grows, and you learn how to rely on the Lord through the good times and the bad times. And so It's a faith perspective. And that's how we live as believers. And this is what James is reminding them of. And listen, if you don't have a faith perspective, you will find yourself in difficult days in the weeks ahead. So he says in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Not if, but when you face these trials, when you go through these trials. You know, Jesus, he assures us that in this world, you will have trouble. But take heed, I have overcome the world. In other words, trust me, I've overcome the world. You're going to go through these trials. Let me ask you a question. Should troubles be a surprise to us? Should hard times be of any surprise to us? No. As a matter of fact, we should expect it. Because when this hard time goes, when we get through the coronavirus pandemic, okay, and we find some smooth seas in the days after, just wait a little bit, and the next trial will come. We should anticipate and expect it, because this is life. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you'll have trouble. And so what James is telling them, he's saying, count it all joys when you go through these trials, when it happens. It's not if, it's when it happens. And they'll be of various kinds, he says. Look at verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces something. So what happens is you go through the trouble. And then watch what happens here. As a follower of Christ, watch what happens here. You'll go through the trouble, and then it's a test. This trial, this trouble, it's a test. For you know that the testing of your faith, it produces something. What does it produce? Well, it says it produces steadfastness. Steadfastness. So now he identifies what this is. It's a test. These are troubles, and these troubles are tests, and they are testing what? They're testing our true faith. They're testing whether our faith is true, whether our faith is authentic or not. And so this is an issue of faith. It's a faith perspective. And these difficulties, they confront us, and they confront what? They confront our faith. And so let me ask you a question. Today you're being faced with a faith test. It's really a faith issue. And we've seen it coming. We knew it was coming. It's kind of started in China, right? And we're faced with this faith test. And it's not really an issue of the coronavirus, really, is it? It's an issue of your faith. And who will you put your trust in? You know, a few months ago, I did a message series on heaven, and I learned what Paul says. He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so that's a faith perspective. That's a unique perspective that believers have. It's a faith perspective. And when we have that kind of perspective, that dying is gain, that the troubles of this world we can count as joy. And see, the world says these troubles will destroy you. The world says when you die, it's a great loss. God says just the opposite. He says, these troubles, they will test your faith, they'll expose it, and they'll produce inside of you something. What? Steadfastness. Steadfastness. They'll produce inside of you this faith, this steadfast faith. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So it's the assurance and the conviction of what? It's the assurance and the conviction that God is bigger than what you're facing. It's the assurance and the conviction that God is bigger. So faith is living with the assurance and the conviction that God is bigger than this problem. God is bigger than this mountain that's in front of me. And so let me ask you, is your fear and unrest bigger than the God you serve? And is the stress and things that we see in our world, is it bigger than the God you serve? And so I think what's going to happen in these next few weeks is it's going to show and it's going to reveal your faith. It's going to reveal your faith. It's going to reveal whether you have a faith perspective or not. And what's going to happen is it's either going to grow your faith or diminish your faith. And it all depends on where your faith rests. Does it rest in a great God, or does it rest in the circumstances of this world? Amen? It rests in this great God that we serve if we're followers of Christ. Notice this word steadfast. The aim of your faith is to develop this steadfastness. And so what does it mean? Well, it's a mixture of endurance and patience. Patient endurance, enduring through the trials, having patience that God, He will show up, He will see me through. He is faithful. He is faithful. And if I stay here, if I live for Christ, right? And so it's this assurance that we put our faith, we put our trust in Him. And look what He says in verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. When I read that, I think about this faith that God is aiming to shape in your life. And if you let the trials run their course, if you count it all joy when you face various trials, it'll build and produce inside of you this steadfastness that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you are perfect and complete, lacking nothing, all of your devotion and your intention rests in Him. The circumstances of this world seem to just fade away and seem to just melt away. And it's funny, in all the stress, these believers that James is writing to, you can imagine they're probably, you know, making a run on Walmart to go get toilet paper. I'm sure that's what they were doing during this time of all their stress. And why would they get toilet paper? Who knows? We don't even know, right? We don't know. I came across this meme on Facebook, and I wanted to show it to you. It's right here on this picture, and it says this. It's a bunch of kids kind of wrapped up in toilet paper, and it says, apparently, this is how people are protecting themselves against the coronavirus. It's like one of my favorite memes this week. Look what James says in verse 5. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So why would he talk about troubles and tests and faith and then throw in this word wisdom? So he talks about troubles and tests and faith, and then he says, and if you lack wisdom, it's because when we fear and when we worry, we do really stupid things, don't we? We make really dumb decisions. And I think what James is saying to these believers is he's saying, put your faith in Him. And through the trials and through the difficulties, He is going to grow your faith and shape your faith and help you trust in the Lord more. You will have this steady, steadfast faith. perfect, he uses that word, faith. And then he says, and if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Look, when you are walking by faith and you're trusting him, and this is, again, turning your eyes back to the Lord, trusting him for wisdom, because, look, circumstances are going to press in. And this is the way it is with life. If it's not this virus thing, it's going to be something else in the days ahead. But as life presses in, we want to jump out in the flesh and just kind of jump out in our own thinking and in our own ways and try to resolve these problems ourselves. But what James is saying is put your faith in him. And if you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, if you want to be wise, turn to him. And the one who gives generously, this is a God that we serve. We serve a God that gives generously to all without reproach. It'll be given to him. And then he says, look what he says here in verse 6. But let him ask, and he's talking about asking for wisdom. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And some of you might be thinking, well, what if I'm filled with doubt? What if my doubts are what stress me out? And what happens when I just can't get my mind off of my doubts? Well, that just means it's time to give your mind to the Lord. It's time to put your faith in him and not in your doubts. And the doubts, really, they're an indicator of where our faith is. And it says, you're not really relying on him. You're not really putting your faith and your trust in him. And that's what faith is. It's trusting in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I teach this to all of our kids. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Because it's easy to lean on your own understanding, right? Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's almost like the picture that James gives here. If you lack wisdom, turn to him, trust him, and he'll make your path straight. And so we see that he's dealing with doubt here. And he says, if you doubt, what's going to happen with you? You're going to be like a double-minded person who's tossed back and forth by the wind. But here's what faith says. Faith says God is bigger. Faith says God is bigger. Is that the kind of faith that you have today? Is that the kind of faith that you have today? The faith that says God is bigger than this. God is bigger than circumstances. So as we look out to the weeks ahead, we apply faith, don't we? It's the kind of faith that has a God is bigger perspective. God is bigger than this perspective. And we don't like uncertainty, and we don't like to guess what the days ahead hold for us. But I think we expect, too often, we expect smooth sailing all the time and comfortable living and easy times. And We expect things to be the same all the time, even though Jesus warns us that in this world you'll have trouble. But as people of faith, y'all, we are soldiers who are trained for this. We are trained for this. These kinds of things are of no surprise for those who put their trust in Christ. We're trained for it. Here's the question this week. Are you passing the test? Are you passing the test? And you might be saying, I guess I'm just afraid of the uncertainty. And, you know, I've heard people, they're sharing all kinds of little different fears. I mean, it's not just the virus itself, but the fear of possibly losing their job in this. And that's a legitimate concern. Or the fear of healthcare issues and issues at the hospital. Maybe it's a concern for elderly parents and things like that. And And I've heard people talk about childcare, and they're closing the schools down, and now where am I going to put my kids, and I got to be at work, and it's just these lots of concerns. You know, we have, I bet, this next food distribution that we have, which is next Thursday, is going to be a big one. Because I know that people are worried, some people are concerned about food, but I have good news. You don't have to live in the bondage of fear. You don't have to live in that bondage anymore. Fear is not a bad thing. It's just an indicator. And it's intended to be sort of like an alarm that drives us to trust the Lord. Faith cancels out our unfounded fears. It cancels it out. And I pray that that will be you in the days ahead. Psalm 46, 1 and 2, it says this, God is our refuge and strength and even an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We can be at peace. God is in control. And the kind of faith we're talking about says, no, my God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than this. Well, listen, the bottom line is what faith says. If faith says God is bigger, if you were to take anything home today from this message, I want you to catch what James is saying in this passage today. And he's telling us, he's conveying to us that faith says God is bigger. You can count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Do you have that steadfastness today? Our kind of theme for 2020 this year was based on a message series that we did in January called Reach. When God reaches a heart, he can reach a home, and he can reach a city, and he can reach a nation. And so my hope through all this is that God's people will find peace and rest and strength in the Lord. And this will trigger something in God's people, that you are light in the darkness. You are an example of Christ. You're soldiers of Christ. You're an ambassador of Jesus. You are being sent out into this world to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring life to the lifeless, to bring the message of the gospel to the forefront of our nation, especially right now. And I really don't think that there's any better opportunity than now to make Christ shine. My wife, she made Christ shine the other day. We stopped. We hadn't even, because we were out of town camping. We haven't grocery shopped at the house, and we were out of toilet paper. So she went in, and she says, you know, I mean, I'm just going to buy normal groceries. That's all I'm going to do. And here are all these other people sort of piling up because it's a small little grocery store in the middle of nowhere. But she says, you know, as what we need to do as Christians is we need to be thinking about other people. And we need to be concerned about them and be thinking about maybe some of our neighbors, maybe that elderly person down the street that now can't go and get some groceries, and maybe we could help them. And so that's what this does, is this kind of faith, it sort of redirects us off of ourselves, and it starts to put our heart into our community and into other people, where we take the message of Christ and we reach a heart, home, city, and nation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for a time that we can come together, Lord, and although we don't know what the days ahead are going to be like, we do know this, you are bigger and you are greater. And we find all of our hope in you, Lord. We can count it as a joy to be a part of this and see it as an opportunity to be a light for Christ, to find rest in him. And again, Lord, I pray for the person that just came in here today and is looking for answers. I pray that they come to know that all the answers are found in the author of life, you, Lord Jesus. Speak into their hearts. I pray that they'll soften their hearts to you, to the gospel message, that they may turn their lives over to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.